Welcome to...
You're listening to The Wrestling Takeover.
What is your name?
With your host, Jordan Turner, who's always going to keep it real.
Come on, King.
Inside and outside the ring.
Let me make myself clear.
He's got the fans behind him, King.
It's time to take over, King.
Are you ready?
He's all fired up now, King.
Takeover.
Let's go.
What's the word, y'all? Welcome back to another brand new episode of the Wrestling Takeover Podcast. Welcome back to another casual conversation. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. The conversation is going to be a little bit more different. It will definitely be controversial for sure. But I'm joined by my guest as usual, Dante. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? It's been a while since I've been on the show, but I'm glad to be here on today and glad to be viewers and listeners of the Wrestling Takeover.
Yeah, man, we're going to be talking about something different. Like I said, this topic, this conversation is going to be pertaining to the wrestling community, wrestling journalism, and simply all of the bullshit that has been, quite frankly, pissing us off when it comes to wrestling talk and false reporting. And so all of that fandom and everything, we're going to document everything. We're just going to shoot the shit. We have no notes here. We're just going to be talking from the top of the dome. And I'm actually going to have my special guest start off the show and give his thoughts and opinions on what is going on in the world of professional wrestling in the internet wrestling community. So Dante, the floor is yours.
So Jordan had hit me up earlier and was like, you know, do you want to talk about this particular topic and what's going on, you know, in regards to the wrestling business, but also in regards to the social media effect of the social media effect or the social media influence of what we see in the wrestling business. And the one thing that I said to him, I'm going to say on the show right now, is that social media is great. The vehicle of social media is great. This is not an attack against social media. This is not an attack against, you know, the dominant platforms in our culture today is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you know. And this is not bashing social media. Sometimes the users of these platforms and how they can just spew, you know, misinformation and kind of just say whatever they want to say. And it just catches fire like crazy. And that's what we have really been seeing, especially, I would say, this year, more than any other year, the amount of just misinformation within the wrestling community has just been, it's to me, it's a fever pitch, you know? And what it's doing is it's kind of hurting the art. It's hurting the art of the wrestlers. It's hurting the art of the storylines because we're more interested in what's going on behind the scenes than what's going on, you know, in the ring. And I love, you know, like a lot of people, I'm a documentary person. I love documentaries. I love behind the scenes. I remember one of the first behind the scenes that I would watch was like VH1 Behind the Music. And I thought that was interesting. I was like, wow, you can see, you know, them walking into the studio, them walking from their cars, them working with other artists. It was really cool to go into that world. But what we're starting to see now is the negative effect of overexposure. And I think a lot of the backstage antics are overexposed. And I think not only is it overexposed, but I believe that a lot of people that are reporting on what's going on backstage don't know what they're talking about. And because these influencers, I'll call them influencers and journalists. Influencers are people that are influenced by They influence masses of people. So to me, they're more influencers than journalists. You have these influencers, powerful platforms and these powerful stages, and one tweet, you know what I'm saying, and it's like 1,000 or some more retweets and comments, and people run with it that are saying things that are not always true. And I just think that it's hurting the art of wrestling. I do. I think, and like I was saying, you know, I am grateful for Twitter. The wrestling community is based really on Twitter more than any other platform, because of the power to engage and communicate and comment. I love Twitter. I love the wrestling community. I love the exposure of wrestling, but I think the exposure in some ways is hurting it a lot. And I just wish it was just a balance. And it's not, you know, we're more invested on what's going on backstage. We're more invested on how much money somebody's making. You know, we're more invested on, you know, who's dating who. We're more invested on, you know, if a sex tape comes, you know, let's try to watch the sex tape and tell you about it. We're more, our attention for me is being taken off of what we see on TV every week, you know? So I don't like that about wrestling. I remember Jordan sent me something and I'm like, I'm so sick. Like a prime example of probably sensationalism. The whole CM Punk thing. I think people that are reporting about it don't know anything about what's going on. You know, it's CM Punk is this, CM Punk is that. He's the worst person in the world, all this other stuff. And for me, because I was watching on Twitter, it kind of killed his comeback because of all of the negative reporting, all of the negative press that he was getting. And I'm just like, where did this come from? And there's a lot of poison being spewed from a lot of people that are considered by other people to be credible influencers or quote unquote journalists. And I really think it's just unfair, and it's just not right.
Whew. Yeah. So the CM Punk stuff, man, we'll start there because we got a lot of past and previous stories, and most of it is in AEW's yard. A lot of the drama, a lot of the bullshit is in AEW. I want to make this point real quick before I continue on with the subject. For those that are just finding the Wrestling Takeover, this is an honest platform. This is a podcast where it's not sugarcoated. I don't attack the wrestlers outside of the ring. My guest does not do that as well. Our opinions and philosophy and creativity, all of it, is based on what we get on weekly TV, right? The news that comes in, we give our honest, unbiased opinions on it. This podcast is very authentic. So I want to spread love, positivity, and all that stuff. That's for sure. But at the same time, I want to be real and I want to be honest. And I don't want to throw shade to anybody in the community. You guys have a job to do. I understand that. But the false advertising and the false just news that we get that has been happening this year alone, and 2023 is not even over yet, that's really been annoying. The CM Punk stuff, I've never seen so many people hate on CM Punk in my fucking life.
Right.
He left WWE. People were pissed. Why'd you leave WWE? Blah, 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 woo, 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 whatever. That whole story, that whole shebang. And he came back to pro wrestling. Those same motherfuckers came in. Oh, CM Punk's back. That's great. That's some great stuff. Now they're watching AEW because CM Punk's there. And then we get news of CM Punk and the whole debacle, and AEW with Tony Khan, and people blaming CM Punk. CM Punk started it, whatever. And people are throwing dirt on CM Punk's name, and I don't know why. CM Punk actually brings positive to AEW, and you people that are out there, you fans out there that, you know, don't want to, you know, realize this, is AEW needs CM Punk. AEW needs CM Punk, and it's something that you guys got to understand. Y'all got to understand that. And that's just the truth. If you don't want to hear it, I'm not going to scream at you and curse you out, but I'm just going to say, go listen to somebody else. Go listen to somebody else. They need AEW, or AEW needs CM Punk desperately. That is their Roman Reigns. That is their John Cena of that promotion. You can say Bryan Danielson. You can say Adam Cole. You can say John Moxley. John Moxley was one, I would say, in the ballpark of a CM Punk. But CM Punk's just different. That crowd reaction when he came out on Wednesday was crazy. People love CM Punk, no matter what fabricated story they want to put out to throw dirt on CM Punk's name. Another instance, Dante, where a lot of the journalists got called out on their bullshit. And again, I'm going to name names. I'm going to name names, and I'm not trying to throw dirt on these people, because I actually love and respect these people. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful, I respect him. I respect Raj. He's no longer on Wrestling Inc., but when he was there, you know, I did a casual conversation with him. I respect him. And, you know, a couple of other people in the community that I do respect. But when that story of WWE in the Saudi Arabia came out, I mean, Dante, listen, me and you talked about it. Me and you talked about it. And the bullshit that everybody was spewing was crazy. It's confirmed. It's confirmed. It's unconfirmed. We don't know what's going on. We don't know who to believe. We don't know what to believe. And then at the end of the day, that report with the Saudi Arabian WWE partnership was ultimately debunked, and people got called out for it. And those same people that got called out for it started blocking other people and getting upset. But you're the one that reported it, though. You reported it as confirmed. You reported it as news. And then when it wasn't true, you know, you want to try to backtrack and act like fans are going to call you out on your shit. We called you out, and then you got mad, and then you wanted to go on a blocking spree. If you are, I'm going to let my guest talk in a second, but I just wanted to finish up and just say, if you are a journalist or want to be journalist, whatever, that's in the community, and, you know, you want to talk about pro wrestling, have reliable sources. If you're wrong, just say you're wrong and move on. Don't have a track record of being inconsistent, and then you want to go out and spew that I'm one of the best journalists in the game and whatever, I'm reliable, when at the end of the day you're not, and you're trying to copy what, you know, Sean Ross Sapp and Raj Gary and WrestleVotes and those people that are very reliable, very respected in this business. You, on the other hand, just wanted to create an account to copy their work and then say I'm a journalist. Motherfucker, that's not journalism. You're just copying and pasting their work and just make it in your own. People see that. And I need the wrestling community to stop doing stuff like that.
Because it's about the drama. It's about this thing with, I don't know, it's like this backstage type of anarchy that people are more interested in. And I really, this is what I was saying earlier, is like the art of wrestling is getting lost, and their form of entertainment is who contracts are getting extended, who contracts are not getting extended, who's getting released, who's not getting released. You know what I'm saying? I just think the backstage thing has gone so far, you know? And even if they're wrong, they continue with the story and they don't even try to address it. Listen, we're wrong. This is not right information. We're sorry. So it's just a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of it, and I got to say this, a lot of it comes from AEW. Just a lot of it. And that's the one thing that bothers me about AEW. And I'm not ragging on AEW or anything like that. It's like I want to enjoy the show without all of the backstage or so-called backstage drama that's going on. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and we were talking. And so at Forbidden Door, CM Punk was supposed to go against Kenta. Right?
Right.
New Japan Pro Wrestler, I believe. Kenta, I believe he was in NXT, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
What was his name in NXT? Because some people would know him from that name.
Yeah. I'm hitting blanks right now.
Yeah, he was in NXT for a while, guys. He was one of the first ones when Triple H really got into the helm of NXT. This was the Black and Gold NXT. He was one of those really big first signings. He was probably one of the first, if not the one of the first Triple H finger points. You know,
right.
He points that's a big deal. But he was signed to NXT. Long story short, his run with the WWE just really didn't work. He was a big star already in Japan. He kind of got the Shinsuke Nakamura treatment. Not the rag on Shinsuke Nakamura, but the booking of Shinsuke Nakamura really has not really done well with his run with WWE. But Kenta was supposed to have had a match with CM Punk, and Kenta pulled out of the match with CM Punk at this Sunday's, I believe, Forbidden Door. And I'm just like, what happened to the days of just doing business? You know, I believe a lot of it may have to do with a lot of the things that's being spewed on social media about CM Punk. You know,
right.
CM Punk being the narrative, that's the thing. Not just the story, but these people have the ability to create narratives for people.
It's crazy.
That is not real. And Michael Jackson said it best, if you believe a lie enough, you begin to believe it. And if everybody's going around saying CM Punk is this, CM Punk is this, CM Punk is that, the more you hear it, the more you read it, in your mind and in your brain is going to start to believe what you're reading, what you're hearing, and what you're seeing. And that's the reason why this whole, it's like CM Punk is being blackballed, but he's not fired. You know, this is this narrative about him. And maybe that kind of got to Kenta. And he's like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to be around that. Because, you know, Japan, the culture in Japan, they're real high on dignity and respect. And they're not into the whole, you know what I'm saying? They do business.
Right.
And maybe one of the reasons why Kenta pulled out of the match because he's like, I don't need this. I could be wrong. Or there could be other things that have gone on with CM Punk and Kenta that they don't know about. And to be honest, it's none of my business. But I just feel like business is getting hurt because of the false narratives that are being made about not just CM Punk, but anybody in the business, you know?
Yeah.
And it really sucks. It does. Because that's a match that would have been great. You know what I'm saying? I believe CM Punk, I won't say stole GTS, but he definitely took it. I think Kenta was the first one to go to sleep. You know, and I believe that CM Punk kind of took the move and kind of made it his own. But it's hurting business. And I mean, during the days of the Hulk Hogan's and Ric Flair's and Roddy Piper's and Junkyard Dog and Andre the Giant, guarantee you they have backstage beef. Guarantee you.
Of course they did.
But they did business. They were able to leave what was personal backstage, come out to the ring, do business, the crowd gets what they want, they get what they want with their payday, and everybody go about their business. And in today's wrestling, that's not happening. And I really believe it's because of the social media effect that's really hurting the business. And that's why I was saying it's hurting the art, because there's false narratives and false information that's being given, and people are listening to it, people are believing it, and people are following it. And that's why a lot of people in the wrestling, a lot of the wrestlers can't stand it, because they're like, this is not even real, this is not even true. How are they creating something and there's nothing there to create, you know?
That's the community, man. That's the wrestling community. I mean, I've been saying this quote for years, even before I even fucking created the podcast and had a plan of wanting to do what I'm doing here. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. That remains true on Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. But there's people that aren't going to listen. They want to create their own narratives. And the wrestling community really is a good place, but it's also bad. Especially with, you know, you got very great, you know, wrestlers in this business that have some passionate, loyal, dedicated fans. But sometimes they go overboard with it. They go overboard. It's time to talk about those wrestling fans, because this entire topic is talking about the community.
The trolls.
Not even the trolls, but the diehard, passionate, I will do anything for you type of stalking fans. So.
Oh, no. Okay.
Hey, listen. Listen, I'm lumping all of them into one category, because social media is a dangerous game.
You know, the Beatles, John Lennon got killed by his fans.
Yeah, Hana Kimura got bullied, and she committed suicide because of it.
Yep. Those are the kind of people that we're kind of talking about.
That is exactly what, yep.
Yeah.
Those are fanatic. The people, man.
Fanatics. Yeah.
Very fanatic. You know, Dante, you even heard stories about people following wrestlers to the airports, Mercedes Moné, Rhea Ripley, Jeff Hardy, this person, that person.
Yeah.
But
it's the effect social media. It's all in one pot. It really is. And it sounds like I'm trying to bury it. I'm not going to bury it, because I use social media every day. And I was just really in this culture of the world. If you're not on some kind of platform, you're out of the loop. You don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Because cable television, you know, a lot of people, there's this new term coming. There's this new term that's here that a lot of people are cutting the cord. People getting rid of cable, you know? So a lot of things are online now, and not just online, on these apps. And that's why you see the harassment at airports. It is blatant harassment, and it's scary aggression, you know? Because these superstars don't have bodyguards. They don't. You know, you see Jeff Hardy walking through, he's by himself. You see Rhea Ripley walking through, she's kind of by herself. You see Rey Mysterio, that one time with the fans, he was by himself. They're kind of alone. So they're kind of out and open and exposed. And anybody can kind of, you know, walk up to them and, you know, kind of say and do whatever. It's kind of scary.
I'd pay, man. Listen, if I was Vince, if I was Tony Khan, if I was the owner of Impact, New Japan, fuck it. All the wrestlers, all of them, I'm paying for fucking security. I'm dead ass. If I had the bank, like, if I had the amount of money that I'll take, for example, Floyd Money Mayweather, he has a lot of security guards for one person. Because you know shit about to go down with fans and just people in general. If I was the owner of WWE, I'm paying for my wrestlers to have security guards. No question.
That's a lot of money.
That's fine, but they need some protection. How many stories have you heard of Randy Orton at the gym getting bothered by fans?
Yeah.
John Cena walking with his girl or walking, period. And he's getting hosted by fans. We've heard so many stories. And our conversation is directed towards those people. Y'all got to calm the fuck down. I know you're a fan, and this is why I was scared, too. I told Dante here a long time ago and he agreed with me, with the Rhea Ripley stuff. When Rhea Ripley turned into the mommy thing and the persona went crazy, I said to him, I'm like, man, these fans going to go crazy for her. You thought Rhea Ripley was popular then? She's going to be real popular with the poppy and the mommy, right? And fans just going crazy for her. The dominatrix stuff, and fans are just losing their shit. I think they've calmed down a bit with that. But still, that's something to think about. Because that's some scary shit. You know what I mean? The whole mommy poppy thing is taking a life of its own. It's great. But after that video, man, I seen with Rhea Ripley just not even having makeup on. It looked like she woke up, you know. Just woke up from a nap from the airport. And all the poor girl just wanted to go to the next town. And these fans were hauling her.
That's it. She just looked like she was just traveling through. She wanted to go through. And it's not just WWE, it's also AEW stars too. It's harassment to a whole nother level, you know? And I could imagine if that's going on, I'll say this, if that's going on at the airport, I could imagine what's going on at the hotel. I could imagine if that's what's going on at airports. Those, I guess, people that really don't have nothing else to do, they're probably waiting day and night at the airport.
It's crazy.
They're probably stopping them from walking the lobby. It's crazy. That's crazy. That has to be so annoying and just so invasive.
And I want to make this point just real quick. If Mercedes Moné, if Rhea Ripley, if Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, if these cats were in the airport, if they went to LAX, right, I'm in the airport. I seen Mercedes Moné. Immediately, I'm going to be like, oh, shit, that's Mercedes Moné. I'm a fan. That's cool that I just seen her. Are you going to pop a picture? You going to take a picture of her and post it on Twitter? Oh my God, guys, I seen Mercedes Moné. You're going to at Mercedes? You're going to at her Twitter or at her Instagram? Don't do that. I would not do that. I'd be like, that's cool. I just seen her. I'm a fan. I seen Roman. I seen Rhea, Kenny Omega. That's cool that I seen these people, but I'm not going to go up to them and be like freaking out. Like, they're regular people. They're regular people, man. The fandom is crazy. It's crazy. I get your fans of these people. I understand, man. That's great to be a fan of these people. You've watched them your whole life. To some of these wrestlers, they're inspirations to you guys. And, you know, you can't live without professional wrestling. I mean, I can't live out with professional wrestling. I love professional wrestling. It's my lifeblood. But I will never, if I get popular with the podcast or whatever, and I see a wrestler, I am not going to be running up to them and going crazy to say, can I get a picture, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to let them go. I'm going to let them walk. I'll talk to my friends. Oh, I seen Roman Reigns. That's cool. I mean, come on. Y'all got to do better. The wrestling community, the wrestling fandom, especially at airports, y'all got to do better. Because it's really disgusting. And y'all deserve to get called out too. Y'all really do.
Right.
Yeah, so.
It's just a lot. It really is a lot. And I think it's because of the people want to get that first picture, or they want to get that first audio, or they want to, go viral. You know, people just want to be TikTok famous.
Yeah.
You know,
That's sad.
Healthy obsession of this TikTok viral famous stuff that people are willing to go beyond boundaries to get whatever they believe they want to get to make it to wherever they want to go. And it's crazy. And isn't on these, you know, entertainers and artists. You even see people going to the shows. In her face.
Who?
Our entertainers, they're not protected. And then another one was on, and a fan walked up to this this week and slapped him. Like, they gotta be, it really, really do. People shouldn't have to walk, people should not walk up stage, slap somebody. The artist is singing, throwing a behind cell phone in her face. She had stitches, she was cut open. You know what I'm saying? And it's scary.
That's crazy.
It's gotta be better. It's happening in the restroom. Is it gonna take something like that to happen where there's like a mob of people that come after our wrestlers and they get hurt?
Well, if you remember the dude that attacked Seth Rollins, you remember that on Monday Night Raw?
Yes, he did.
Where that dude absolutely speared Rollins and wanted to fight that dude. Like, why would you do that? And then he said, oh, I was coerced to doing that, or I thought he was another account.
There was a meme that went out when he did it. They showed Rikishi and it said, I did it for The Rock. That's not funny because that was real. But I laughed when I saw that. It was like, you saw Rikishi, you saw the guy run DC Rikishi and said, I did it for The Rock.
I'm sorry, man. If there's one thing in life that I will be honest and brutally blunt with you is, if something's funny, no matter how bad it is, but if something's funny, I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
You gotta find levity in everything.
That shit is hilarious.
I died when I saw that.
Oh my goodness, man.
I was like, I did it for The Rock.
Fucking A, man.
That was shit. Funny. It was a serious moment. Because this guy must have played football or soccer. That was a long run. That's before they got this new ramp.
Yeah.
And new setup. It's a little bit more closer. That guy was like far out, like end zone stuff. And out of nowhere, he just attacks the problem. It's just got to be protection. And there's no boundaries. And I really believe, and honestly, I believe because of the interaction that you can get from wrestlers and the accessibility to them, kind of like 24 hours a day of the platforms, people in their mind think they know them.
Exactly. And they don't know us all.
They don't. They feel like they know them. I see their story. I saw what they have for breakfast. I saw what they have for lunch.
That's, you know what, crazy. I'm
saying? I see what time they watch their movie. I saw what time they went to bed. You know what I'm saying? I see what their kids look like. They get so immersed in that person's life that they believe they know them.
I mean, for God's sakes, dude, they're fucking creating Twitter accounts of these people. Why are you doing that? Unless it's a fan page. That's fine. Unless it's a fan page. And I've seen some great fan pages out there. You guys do some good work. I ain't talking about people. I ain't talking about those people.
No.
Y'all know who we talking about.
No, those people that do that are tribute. They put up good information on them. They be having phenomenal results. Like the Charlotte fan, I know, Charlotte fan page on Instagram. I'm like, how do y'all get these photos of Charlotte? She hasn't even posted these.
I don't know, man.
Please.
I don't know what else to call them.
You know, I just, because they, like I said, they believe. and they meet them, and then probably may not be what you think they are, and now you feel entitled to every day.
Right.
It's so scary, you know, and I'm not even a celebrity. I'm not even famous, not even close to it, probably will never be, you know, in that light. But I had to go, and I had to kind of revamp my social media because it was just too much information about me.
Right.
My Facebook, my Instagram, I'll be honest with you. And I was speaking to one of my family members. I said to them, I said, there's too many pictures of my family on here. Like, too many people know what my grandmother looks like, my mom looked like. It's too much. So I had to pull all of that back because I just was like, people are nuts, you know? And then people were friends of mine, but they were friend requests to my mother because they saw her picture on my page.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wow.
Crazy.
So, you know, do you see, and this is all in conjunction about the positive social media to pop culture, mainly wrestling, and what it can do to people's minds, you know?
Yeah, that shit is crazy. I think wrestling fans got to do better overall.
Especially if they're buying your merch, like they're buying your wristbands, they're buying hats, they're buying your belt, they're buying your shoes. I got me socks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I do. You know, they're buying your merch and stuff like that. They're buying it for their kids. You know, they got a belly shirt. They got their girl a belly shirt of Seth Rollins. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah.
Something simple. Is there anything that you feel right now? You could be honest with me. Be honest with everybody.
Okay.
Is there anything that you feel that the wrestling community, journalism people, podcasters, wrestling fandom, that they need to stop doing? Like, as in, like, today, is there anything that the community can, like, if you were in charge, you'd tell people, like, y'all need to stop this, like, right now. Is there anything that you can come up with to help build the community to be in a better place to where it's at now?
The false advertisement and the misinformation. Really. And the narrative of character. The narrative of a person that you don't know. No, none of them, to my understanding, none of them know who CM really is.
Right. No.
You know.
Yeah.
You're not in his immediate circle. You have no idea who he is. But because of what you hear, you believe in it. Even if you're getting it from within the company, that person could be lying too.
Definitely could be lying.
Hurt or diminish Punk. So I just think the misinformation and the false narratives that is being projected on the wrestlers, I think that needs to stop because it's hurting the art. It's hurting the art. It really, really is. I just wonder, you know, with everything that has been said about CM Punk, who will work with CM Punk outside of a Jay White? And, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a good question.
Who will work with him? You know, are we going to get the CM Punk Kenny Omega match? Is that possible? Will they be able to do business even though a personal situation did happen? And according to CM Punk, no one's ever apologized about it. Yet.
That's crazy. You know? Yeah.
I don't understand. And I'll be real honest with you. I know this is beside the point, but I need to say I'm really surprised CM Punk signed to do anything without having a proper conversation. I really am. When I read that, I was like, and you're back and I haven't even sat down and
talked this out
yet. You know, but everybody wants to work. It's weird. It's a little weird. So I wonder how that's going to work because they haven't, according to him, from what he said, he has been trying to. The other side have been not wanting to do it.
Yeah, you know the crazy thing is, though? You want to know the crazy thing is? You mentioned AEW and false advertisement and wrestlers putting misinformation out. You know, the Young Bucks are really good at doing that. I want to throw a little shit at the Young Bucks here, man, because the Young Bucks do a lot of that bullshit. They put false information and they want to go and attack that particular person. We've seen it with CM Punk. We've seen it with John Moxley. We've seen it, man. We've seen all this stuff. AEW has a consistent, I would say, lineup to doing something like that. And it's very annoying because you get the whole AEW faithful going out and attacking this particular person. Why? Because the wrestlers themselves put out misinformation. Why the fuck are you putting out misinformation? That's your coworker. Why are you doing that?
That's true. Because it was for a year that AEW stars were burying CM Punk.
And they know we're right about it because, I mean, it's been documented.
It was the EVPs. It was the top stars. Let's just call it what it is. What we saw with AEW and the EVPs and the top would never happen in WWE.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
It would never happen. Would never happen. When the whole Sasha Banks and Naomi thing, you didn't hear from anybody backstage. You didn't hear from none of the boys and none of the girls in the back. That would never happen. But that's the lack of discipline Tony Khan has with his locker. Unfortunately, discipline and control. Because if you had discipline, you had control, they wouldn't be talking like that and doing whatever they want to do. But because of the lack thereof, they're doing whatever they want. And these are the people that are supposed to be your executive vice presidents.
I know, right? That's crazy. And social media has really played that. And you can just tell that people are back in Punk, or they're back in the Young Bucks. Oh, fuck CM Punk. Let's throw all the dirt on CM Punk's name. Why do wrestling fans and the tribe of the wrestling community to a particular wrestler, you will defend them until the cows come home. That is fine, but I'm going to call y'all motherfuckers out, because if CM Punk did something bad, I love CM Punk, but I'll call him out on it. If Mercedes Moné did something bad, and I'm talking bad, something, I don't care if I'm a fan of hers, I'm going to call her out. I'm going to call out Roman. I'm going to call out anybody. So we all called out the Young Bucks. We're all fans of the Young Bucks. But we called out them and the Elite. And then when we heard the news of CM Punk and the stuff that he was doing, you know, kind of making a throwing a fit, very unprofessional of Punk to do something like that. And even he knew it. We all called him out on his bullshit because that was unacceptable. He should not have done that. He made Tony Khan look like a fucking geek. That's the bottom line. It's just the truth. So we're always going to be throwing out truth bombs at y'all. That's just how it's going to be. If you don't like it, go watch and listen to somebody else. But listen, at the end of the day, wrestling fans got to do better. Got to do better. Now, I am not in that documentary discussion of people that, you know, throw dirt on wrestlers' names and bring out false advertisements and stuff like that. That's not what we do here. My guest doesn't do that. I don't do that. You know, we give our opinions on what we read, see, and hear when it comes to pro wrestling. Even though if the news might not be right, or even if it is right, we'll give you guys our opinion on it. And this conversation needed to be had because, like Dante said, the wrestling art, we're not talking about pro wrestling. We're talking about the next big news report. Like, I'll take for example. I talked to my co-host about this. I seen a report this morning that WWE is considering doing Rhea Ripley and, you know, Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 40. Let's take that for example. And then I seen a report earlier, before I press record, that they're actually changing their mind and they're doing Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. And I seen people, they took that and then they started kind of going crazy on it. And people are taking the report that people feel that that is a real news article, whatever, and they're running with it. Throwing dirt on Bianca. No one wants to see Bianca versus Charlotte. And then the other people are saying they don't want to see Bianca versus Rhea. Throwing dirt on Rhea. Throwing dirt on this person, that person. It's just a fucking news report. You can believe it. You cannot believe it. I'm going to leave that up to interpretation with you. But Dante, when you hear things like that in the news in regards to a particular wrestler, maybe having a new character, new storyline, returning, whatever, there's always fans that try to throw dirt on their name and it makes it seem like they don't want them back at all.
They bury them. But that's the fickle nature of the wrestling community. You know, I'm telling you, they'll hate you one day and they'll love you the same day. You know?
Yeah.
That's just the mindset of the wrestling fans. I'm not going to say the business. It's really the wrestling fans. And they're just fickle like that. You know, one minute they love you, next minute they'll hate you. It's just the way it is. There's because of this feud that's been even put out about Charlotte Flair. It's translating to on screen, you know, and she walks out in the crowd and people hate her, you know?
Yeah.
Whether you agree with it or not, with her booking or her direction she's going in. People are reading it. Got a lot of young people that's reading it and they're believing what they're reading, you know?
Right. And that's just, it's just crazy because, like, for example, Roman Reigns. I'm bored of Roman Reigns. Fuck his reign. His reign's trash. He needs to lose. Once someone says one thing, everybody is going to go on that bandwagon. Bandwagon fans piss me the fuck off. Come up with your own opinions. Come up with your own mind and utilize it. Stop reading one report or stop reading one tweet and say, yes, 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 yes. If you disagree with the tweet or you disagree with the report or whatever, disagree with it, tweet out your opinion because we all know everybody wants to tweet out their opinion because they feel like their voices are going to be heard. Listen, I tweet my opinions. Is my voice being heard? No. But I'm going to still tweet my opinion. You know why? Because it's my fucking opinion. It's my opinion. Same with my co-hosts. Same with anybody. Just tweet out your opinion. Put it out. You don't need to wait for people to like it or whatever. Hey, yeah, that's my piece.
Right.
I mean.
And it's respectable what you're saying. It's true. I just think this social media thing is going down a rabbit hole, and it's going to go to a real bad place, man. And it's really going to hurt the art. It really, really is going to hurt the art and the wrestling business. And I hate that. I really do. I wish that people was more focused. I remember a time where there was no social media and everything was focused on TV.
Right.
And just watching it on TV. You know what I'm saying? Now anybody can create an account. This information out there, and now it's considered the gospel.
Everyone's going to run with it.
And everybody's going to run with it, and that's not fair. That's not right. And then they don't want to show their face. They want to put up a fake picture of somebody else or something, and it's horrible.
Facts.
Especially on Twitter.
It's disgusting.
Twitter's a hell's gate now, and it's a scary place sometimes. And you really got to, and I would say to the listeners and the viewers of the Wrestling Takeover, whatever you're reading, especially on Twitter, take it like a grain of salt. You know, prime example, CM Punk ESPN interview was supposed to be dropping. It has yet to drop.
It's not dropping.
The article came out, but they made it seem like it was going to be a video. Oh, it's a video. It's dropping tomorrow. It's dropping before. It's Collision was almost Saturday. A week ago.
Yep.
We haven't seen that interview yet. Take it like a grain of salt, people.
Yeah. Always take it with a grain of salt. Never believe what you read on the internet. No matter how true the motherfucking source is. Case in point, I'm watching TV. I'm looking at my screen right now. And one of the best NBA journalists in the fucking world is Woj. People believe what that guy says every time he tweets out. He was tweeting out tons of NBA shit. Tons of NBA tweets, everything. People believed what he said because he's the real deal. He has sources. He's the source. So when I hear people in the I have sources. You know what my source is? Really, for real. Let's be 100% right now. My source is what I see on TV. That's my source. My opinions on what I base on what I see on TV. I'm not a journalist. Right. I don't want to be a fucking journalist. No disrespect, no shade to the journalists out there, man. I like some of y'all. Some of y'all are fake. Like I said, you know, Raj Gary, real dude. Sean Ross Sapp, real dude. You know, WrestleVotes, real. I don't know who runs that account, but whoever it is, you're real cool people. X News coming up in the game, being very reliable. Those type of people. I respect those people. Not the wannabe fucking, I don't know, Dante. They're out there. I can't remember, but they're out there. You know who I'm talking about.
Right.
If we don't know who they are, that means they're wannabe journalists.
Right.
And Dante hates the word journalist, by the way. So for those of listening, he fucking hates it.
I like the word journalist, but I wanted to apply it to people that really are journalists.
I don't know, man. Are there real journalists out there?
A lot of people are gossip blogs more than journalists to me.
I feel like the only journalists really out there, you can kind of count on one hand. I just count them. And it was like 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. So wrestling fans, you guys got to do better. Stop reading everything stop believing everything you read on the internet. Have your own sense of mind and opinion, please. That I hate. When I see people not having a mind of their own in the community, that's like, come on, y'all. Come on. Like, okay, we'll end it with this one. I seen something yesterday, and somebody put out on Twitter, just an opinion, that's it. They put, the Brawling Brutes need to be pushed more on television. They aren't getting the treatment that they deserve. What happened to their booking? They were on fire and all of a sudden they're not on TV. That person just gave their opinion. That's it. Gave their opinion, and people all of a sudden created it into a fucking news article. The fuck are you doing that for? That type of shit too, Dante, bugs me out. You put an opinion out there and people want to create fucking news on it.
They were saying that Sheamus was saying that.
Sheamus?
I don't know how true, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a prime example. They were saying that Sheamus was saying, oh, he's upset because they're not getting pushed the way they need to get pushed and all this other stuff. This is the misinformation we're talking about.
See, and I covered that because I thought it was Sheamus that talked about that. Maybe it was actually him, and I covered it. So
was it
him? I don't know.
There we go.
I don't know. I mean, for God's sakes.
There we go.
There's one thing that we do know, though. I know you've seen it this morning. Ricochet, we'll end it. Okay, we will end it with this topic, and then we will end the show. Did you see the report of Ricochet when he said, Vince McMahon is in the weeds. Vince McMahon is on creative.
Yeah.
Guys, me and Dante have been saying that for months.
I don't know why that's even still a topic.
Have no idea. It's crazy. People in the comments were like, oh my God, this and that. And then there were others that were like us, like Ricochet, dog. We know that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, bro. We know this stuff, man. Just watch the show.
Right.
So watch the show and you will see the difference between Triple H booking WWE and Vince McMahon booking WWE. But I will end it with this and then I'll give the rest of the floor to Dante. Listen, people, do better. The wrestling community's got to do better. There are some great people in the community and you are listening to two of them. Spread love, positivity, all that stuff. Power positivity. Shout out to the New Day. That is not just a saying. That's a real thing. And I just need the wrestling community just, you know, do better. Do better. Stop bringing up false information, all that stuff. And start respecting each other, too, with different views and opinions. Because it's just bugging out that, you know, you put an opinion out, Dante, and you get crucified for it. You know?
Right.
Now, it depends on what you say, though. Like, if you say something absolutely eradicated, it's like, my nigga, come on, man. What the fuck was that? But if you tweet out, I'll use you for example, Dante. If you went on Twitter right now and you tweeted out, they need to split up Rhea Ripley. She needs to get away from Judgment Day. I'm not liking her on Judgment Day. She needs to be on her own. Bro, I'm telling you, you're going to have people down your throat. What is he talking about? This and that. That's like you just gave your opinion. That's it. You know, and guys, I'm using him as an example. He did not say that. So, all right. I'm using him as an example.
Even if I did, I don't care.
See? There you go.
My opinion. Your opinion is free.
Right.
Your opinion is free. You can say, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not doing anything to cause anybody any kind of physical harm. But my opinion is my opinion. And I'm going to feel that way whether I tweet it or not. You know, it's still something I'm going to feel at the end of the day. But I just, like you said, I just wish and hope that they would do better. I don't think they are. This summer is going to be white hot with the news and rhetoric. And a lot of it's going to be BS. A lot of it,
yeah.
You know, people are going to say, I don't like this. I'm not watching anymore. And then Wednesday's going to come around.
And you're going to watch it.
And they're going to be tweeting about what they're watching.
Exactly.
You know? So, you know, just like I said, take it like a grain of salt, you guys, you know, and don't get so obsessed and over-consumed with the information that you're hearing and reading.
That's a good way to look at it.
Don't do it. I'll tell you this. I'll be real honest. When the whole, and I haven't done it since, and I had to really catch myself. When the whole Mia Yim scandal broke out and she deactivated her Twitter, right?
Oh, yeah.
When Austin Theory legs was wrapped around her or something.
People
or whatever
lost
that
it.
Was.
Yep.
I got so invested in that. And I'm like, I don't even know this woman. I don't even know this man. And I was coming at her. And I had to step back and I say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're becoming one of these people. What are you doing? You know? And I haven't been this. I've never done that since. And I'll be honest with you. You'll get caught up. You will. And you'll be like, oh my God, how did I get caught up? How did I get this far out? You know what I'm saying? And then you're looking back and you're way out in sea and you don't even see the coastline. You don't see the shore. You don't see anything because sometimes with everybody tweeting the same thing, it pulls you in and you get pulled in and you get sucked in and you get dragged out. And then before you know it, you're out at sea with the rest of the misfits. Right. And you're like, how did I get out here? How did that happen? So it's easy to get sucked in. It really is. It's easy to get drawn in. Just be careful with it because a lot of the stuff isn't real and a lot of stuff isn't. But the because of the administrative change with Twitter, there's no real policing on Twitter anymore. So anybody can say anything. So, you know, keep your opinions. Be honest about how you feel if you tweet something out. But just be careful with everything else that may be connected to that tweet, especially when you hashtag. Because when you hashtag, people are going to see what you're saying.
Yeah. Something was on my mind. Here we go. So just kind of quickly piggybacking off what you said. You know, if you have nothing nice to say on Twitter and you want to go attack a wrestler, if you are trying to be, and I'm pretty much talking to myself, but I'm also talking to those out there that genuinely want to be a part of the wrestling industry. I'm just going to give you some advice. Do not go on Twitter and attack these wrestlers, because I'm telling you right now, you want to be a part of the business, and that's great. You want to get your foot in the door.
You better say that.
But I'm telling y'all, they will go back and look at your tweet and look at your interview and look at your article, and you ain't getting in because of what you said to Alexa Bliss or Mercedes Moné or Roman Reigns, whatever. Stop attacking the wrestlers personally. It's not going to go in your favor, especially if you are trying to enter into the wrestling business.
Right.
Don't do it. I know it because I don't do it. I don't do it. I can, but why would I do that? I don't know these people. They don't know me. So there's no reason. Now, they do put their, you know, real life situations out there, and, you know, I have every right to get my opinion, but I'm really going to stop trying to do that, because I feel like, again, I'm unfiltered, so I kind of pick and choose with what I want to say. So if I have nothing nice to say, I'm just not going to tweet it, because it's totally unnecessary to see my tweet, because it might put someone down that's going through that type of situation in a negative light. So you guys got to learn about that. And we always like to teach you guys some things on the Wrestling Takeover, man. All right. So Dante, I appreciate you as always, man. Thank you again for coming on to the show. This was a great conversation. This is something we really needed to have.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's a great conversation, and it's a conversation that I believe we will continue to have when it's called for. You know, it's just, and the reason why this conversation is being had, and the reason why this has been brought up, we don't want the art of wrestling to get lost. You know, we don't want the art we want the art to remain art. We don't want the art to be downgraded. We don't want art, because these men and women are going up there and they're risking their lives. Literally.
Yes.
These bumps. To me, wrestling is not fake. The outcome is predetermined. But what these men and women are going out there doing, the average human being cannot do. Cannot do. The average human cannot take a German suplex every night. The average human cannot take a back body drop every night without feeling like they were in a car accident or a car wreck. So what these men and women are doing every day, we're putting their bodies on the line for our entertainment. We need to kind of do better by them, and we're not. You know, they're going out there. They're flying all around the world. They're risking it all. We have the table spot Tuesdays on Wrestling Takeover. The joint is real. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the outcome is predetermined. The championship reigns are predetermined. All that other stuff. We know this.
Right.
The genie's out of the bottle. We know what the genie looks like. We know what it is. You know what I'm saying? That's not the point. The point is just, you know, don't get so caught up in the rhetoric and the distractions that you forget about the art. And that's the reason why, if you do subscribe to the Wrestling Takeover, and you follow Wrestling Takeover, we don't cover that stuff. Everything we talk about is things that's going on in the ring and on TV. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the art of it. And that's what I love to get into. It's just like Picasso. You know what I'm saying? We don't really know what's going on in his life, but we love his art.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're focused on the art, you
and
know?
That motherfucker put some great art out there.
Yeah, the person that made the Mona Lisa. You know what I'm saying? We really don't know what's going on. We really don't know. But we're like, wow, look at the art. Look what this man created. Look what this man painted. You know what I'm saying? Like Roman Reigns. I'm invested in the art of Roman Reigns. I'm invested in the art of the bloodline. I'm invested in the storyline and the feuding of what's going to happen at Money in the Bank. I'm not concerned about anything outside of that. It's none of my business. I'm not concerned about it. I'm so invested in this bloodline storyline. when it goes away, it's going to be sorely missed. But don't get so caught up in the rest of the stuff that you miss the art of what's happening right before your damn eyes.
Damn, man. Yo, made me tear up in that bitch. Yo. What a great monologue, man. Shit.
Was it?
Yeah, man. Shit. Took every word out of my fucking mouth.
Was that a good promo?
That was a good fucking promo, man. Unscripted, unheard.
Yeah.
You had Vince. You told Vince, yeah, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to put in his work. Let's get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just give me a mic and then I'll
shit.
Drop it.
No bullet. That was bullet points up the ass, man. You said, fuck the script. Yeah. Let's get this shit.
Yeah.
That's what we do, guys. We're, you know, when we bring up these type of conversations, this is why we're different than others. We have no script here. I literally text Dante and I said, we're going to have a conversation. He said, all right, and we're just going to talk. And we talked for over an hour plus with no script, no notes here, just talking pro wrestling, which we love at the end of the day, even though it brings up a lot of bad things.
But we love it.
But we love it.
And we're gonna keep loving it because that's what we do.
Right.
We're going to keep loving it and keep talking about it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep giving our honest, unfiltered, but respectable opinion. Because at the end of the day, not only are they entertainers, they're human beings. They're human beings. They have feelings. They have emotions. And God doggone it, they have families.
Right.
You know? So I would never want to spew, you know, vitriol to anyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the heck out of here. That's whack. And you're lame if you do that. And there's just a lot of people within the wrestling community right now
that are
just completely lame. Lame-os, whatever you want to call them, whack, wannabe journalists, wannabe press jogging, vlogger, blogging,
podcasters,
whatever you want to call them, podcasters, whatever you want to call them. You know what I'm saying? And that's the one thing that we do not do. We do not spew vitriol. We do not spew hate. We give our honest opinion. Some things we're going to like. Some things we're not going to like. Some things we're going to love. Some things we're not going to love. But at the end of the day, our love and our passion and our respect for the wrestling business will always be there. Our respect for the wrestling business, our respect for the men and women that do put their bodies on the line each and every week, 360 some odd days out of the year. They're going out there. They're doing the damn thing. They're entertaining us. They're in Saudi Arabia. And then on Monday, they're at Monday Night Raw. That takes a lot of loyalty and just pure respect. And I'll say this, as an NXT, I want to give a shout out to Dana Brooke. Say whatever the hell you want to say about Dana Brooke. She went out there and she did the damn thing on NXT and people were saying, hey, 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 nah, 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 goodbye. The woman went out there, put her body on the line, doing what she loves to do. And I just want to give Dana Brooke a shout out because she doesn't get a shout out. She doesn't get the clout that she deserves. It's not an easy business to live in. It's not an easy business to exist in. And especially when creative and booking is not working in your favor, but you're still trying to go out there. You're still trying to do the damn thing. You're still trying to be the best that you can be and prove yourself. And even if it's not awarded or handed to you to go out there, to get the baton, to do what you got to do, you still do your best. And doggone it, she did her best on NXT. Do I like Dana Brooke? Yes, I do like Dana Brooke. I like Dana Brooke when she was an enforcer for Charlotte Flair. It worked really well with her. They looked good together at the time. Her booking hasn't been that great. Her creative hasn't been that great. And people, for some reason, hate. And the thing about it, and this is a social media thing, Jordan, we were talking about, not only do they hate the character, they start hating the person. And that's when it starts getting really dangerous. And that's when it really starts getting scary. Because you see all of these people spreading poison and vitriol against the person that now it supersedes the character on TV. Now they start hating the person, the real life person. You know what I'm saying? Just like Sonya Deville with that whole man trying to, you know, come breaking her house or something like that. Like, what the hell? Like, that's not okay. So it got to be better policing on these social media sites. It got to be better policing of wrestlers. I don't know how they're going to police it, how they're going to do it. But they got to be protected. But I wanted to give Dana Brooke a shout out. And I hope that she gets well soon because I think she got hurt on NXT. No, she gets better. You know what I'm saying? Say whatever you want to say about her. She went out there and she's doing the damn thing. And if you don't like it, too goddamn bad. And don't at me, because I'm not going to read it. I'm going to block your ass. Period.
All right, man. I got to share my crown. I got it. I might have to give you my crown or something. Jesus Christ. That's two for two right there. Fuck. I got to do better. I got to step, I gotta step my, I gotta step my game up.
That got me hot. That got me tight. You know, I was, that got me tight.
This nigga was just talking and talking and talking. And I'm like, God damn, he's speaking facts, facts, facts.
Sorry.
Nah, you good. You good. You could have went another 30 minutes. I don't give a fuck. Say everything that came off your, that nigga, that came off your chest. I felt every ounce of that fucking, oh my God, that dialogue was crazy. Jeez, he said unfiltered. He said, nigga, I got y'all. Talk about unfiltered. That's what y'all get, man. Y'all get unfiltered. Y'all get rants like that. We're all passionate at the end of the day. But yes, I do want to shout out Dana Brooke, because she just does not have a good track record, really, when it comes to fans' reception. No. And, you know, fans, listen, you could speak your mind. You can give your opinion, but just don't fucking be hey, hey, goodbye, get the fuck out. Like the fans in NXT, and they got shit for it on social media, deservedly so. That wasn't cool. She got injured. She fucked up her knee, so she's going to be out for a cool minute. That is what I'm talking about. That's some bullshit. Like, don't do that. Don't do that at all. And that's why you, that's why the community gets, you know, disrespected. In terms of a lot of the communities in the world, like sports and music, wrestling community is just as bad. It's really up there. It's a very bad place. But there are a lot of good people in the community as well. But, you know, if there's more bad people in the community over more good people, I mean, they're going to think we're bad. But then that's up to us to let, you know, the people know that we're not bad people. We give our, you know, unbiased, truthful, or real opinions, because we're not going to like everything. But at the end of the day, you know what it is. We know how the game works. And we respect the wrestlers. So I want to shout out Dana. That was a tough situation to be in. And those wrestlers, man, that, you know, aren't being booked and not being booked on TV on a consistent basis. You know, we want to see some of these people.
It hurts them.
It definitely does.
It hurts them bad. And these are towns like we see Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Entertainer. Oh my God.
Oh my God, you did it again. You did it again.
I did it on the podcast. And it's, oh, darn. Oh man, Cedric. Alexander, I'm mad at myself. I'm so mad at myself right now. I didn't mean to do that.
Shout out to Cedric Alexander.
And this is the reason why I keep calling him that, because we don't see him. So the only Cedric I know in my head is Entertainer. The whole situation with Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. Talented.
Yeah, they are.
Squash matches. Squash matches. And just two, three years ago, they was the hottest thing during the pandemic, the Hurt Business.
Hurt Business, man.
Now, business is being hurt, you know?
Business is being hurt, yep.
But what I wanted to ask you this one real quick question before we, because we're getting ready to wrap up. We should have been wrapped up. But what I want to ask you was, there was a report that came out today about LA Knight and why.
Oh, God. Are you talking about the fucking ageism bullshit?
Is there ageism in wrestling?
I think so, because Taya Valkyrie was old. Well, in WWE's eyes, she's old, and they fired her because of her age. You remember that? Remember when she got cut?
That's weird.
That was the reason why she got released.
But we saw Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan.
They pick and choose, I mean, man.
Look at Impact Wrestling. I mean,
yeah, they got a lot of old heads, a lot of old cats over there.
How old is he?
LA Knight.
Yeah,
he's 40.
Oh my God.
Shout out to LA Knight. I don't know how old you really are, but I did see something that someone said in the comments that you are 40. So if you're not, I apologize. But someone said that he's 40 years old, and WWE considers that old. You have to be fucking kidding me. Old?
But Vince McMahon is still head of creative.
Right, 77 years old.
but he's like 70, 77, 78. But we're not basing anything off age. Okay.
Yeah, they are. That's why, not even just the age thing, just momentum. They pick and choose.
They've been trying to kill LA Knight for a long time.
Don't know why. He's over organically.
I don't know.
They have a problem with that.
I don't get it. And they've been trying, they've been with LA Knight. It's something that's been going on for months.
And I'm not pointing at Triple H either, so you can fucking know you're cock blocking Triple H, whatever. Nigga, I don't give a fuck. It has nothing to do with Triple H. This is Vince McMahon. This has nothing to do with Triple H. Because I guarantee you, Triple H is not upset that LA Knight is 40 or 40 plus years old. Triple H don't give a fuck about that.
Somebody don't like him. I don't know who it is. I don't know why they don't like LA Knight. But the fans love him. I mean,
and this is why I hate WWE. This is why I hate WWE.
Well, one of the reasons why you may not like WWE, you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let me track back. I don't hate WWE, okay? All right. All right. See? Yeah. See what I just said? That can get traced back.
See? That can get come back. And guess what? I saved you.
Hi Triple H. Hi Vince.
So when they hire you, he didn't mean that.
I didn't mean that. I fantasy book WWE more than any promotion in the world. I love WWE.
He wants to be a writer for us and he hates us. Oh, he doesn't hate us. The guy saved him. Yeah.
Yeah, I love you guys. WWE for life, man.
There we go.
I don't know about getting a tattoo though. You know, I mean, that's crazy. You know,
that's kind of going, you know, yeah.
I will say though, y'all, I will be getting a wrestling tattoo when the time is right. And Dante is going to hear this first, as well. I'm going to get an Undertaker, symbol tattoo, his little, cross thing. It's going to be a symbol of, you know, my love for pro wrestling. He's the GOAT. I've talked to you about that for years, just like everybody else. I don't care what name you come at me with. Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is number two for me. I don't give a fuck who you come up with. Roman Reigns can go on three dominant runs that he's on right now, and he will never be the Undertaker. I'm sorry. Undertaker, that is my boy. That's my king. That's the dead man. And he's my GOAT, so I'm going to be definitely getting a tattoo of the Undertaker. His symbol.
Undertaker lives in the air that Andre the Giant occupied.
Yes.
It's just Taker and Andre. And that's it.
When you find the next Andre and Taker, come talk to me. But right now, it ain't looking good.
Yeah. It's just...
Nope.
You know, it wasn't about the 1,000 days or how many championships. It was just about, you know, the presence. And no one has capitalized on what... Because when Undertaker comes out and you hear that gong...
Yep.
That's it.
Stone Cold, you know. Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I think the only one in today's pro wrestling, you might not like him. You can listen. I was going to say something disrespectful, but I paused. I caught myself. You can go listen to somebody else. Roman Reigns is the only guy in today's pro wrestling that gets the reaction that, you know, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, when their gong hits, Undertaker, crowd goes crazy. Shawn Michaels, sexy boy, crowd goes crazy. Stone Cold with the glass, the electricity with the rock. And now Roman Reigns, when he comes out, you get that aura, you get that finesse, you know, crowd goes crazy for it. But we went on too long, I know, but we just wanted to talk to y'all and have this conversation on this Friday and
Thursday.
No, I'm going to post it on Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday.
Friday, y'all.
Friday, y'all. Man, this was fun, man. This was fun.
Yeah.
If I was getting paid for this shit, man, I'd be doing this shit every fucking day.
I mean, every day there's new news. So I don't think, I mean, there's always something coming out. It's always something that's being had or happening or whether good, bad, or the indifferent.
That's the good thing about pro wrestling.
Yeah, the stories keep coming. You know what I'm saying? And some of the stories are out of control. Some of the stories are unbelievable. And some of the stories are just meaty. And you're just like, wow, I would really like to talk about that.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's good stuff. It's good, bad, and indifferent in wrestling. You know, you just got to eat the meat and spit out the bones. I think that's the best way describe the information you get. Just eat the meat, spit out the bones, because you'll choke on it.
Don't choke, guys. Don't choke. Never mind. I'm not. Never mind. I'm going to. Okay. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. I was going to say something, but never mind. Don't. My fellas know what it is.
On Woo! Another note.
Nah, for real. So, talk about, we'll end it with this. Talk about TikTok, man. If y'all ain't subscribed to TikTok, man, my co-host is going to break it down for y'all.
Yeah, just want to say to everybody on that are following the Wrestling Takeover on TikTok, thank you guys so much. We have hit 5,000 views and likes on TikTok. The TikTok was created. The Wrestling Takeover has been established since 2020. The TikTok was created about 2 months ago. So just to see the success and the overwhelming success and the succession of TikTok and the Wrestling Takeover has just been overwhelming. We got 5,000 views and likes, 5,000 plus, and now we get ready to hit 500 followers. It's amazing, and people are really paying attention. People are really starting to see the videos. People are really starting to comment on it. Not only views and likes, but the bookmarks have been amazing. People are saving the Wrestling Takeover videos and commentaries. It's really been amazing to see every day.
Yeah, guys. I didn't create TikTok. That was not me. Okay. I didn't even want TikTok. Dante, my co-host, created it. He told me about it. He told me his plan. He was going to help me build the Wrestling Takeover brand, which he has been doing. He will continue to. He's not going nowhere. And I'm not going to lie. I didn't think TikTok was going to blow up. I'm just going to say that right now. I thought TikTok was, you know, going to be something like YouTube, where it's just going to take time and time and time. And we will be talking more about YouTube when the time comes. But yeah, that's a teaser. TikTok. I didn't believe in it. You know, he had faith in me. He had faith in the brand. He had faith in my vision. And he told me that TikTok is going to get over. And what, man, it's been like 2 months, 3 months?
2 months and a half, about something like that.
And I'm about to get near 500 followers and I'm over 5K likes. Has anyone in the community done that? I can't remember. I'm going to pat myself on the back because I don't remember. If they have, that's fine. But thank you, everybody. And I will be making a thank you video of my actual face. Okay. So you don't have to hear my fucking voice. All right.
Yeah.
I will be making a video when we hit 500 plus followers, because that will happen when the time is right. It might happen next week. It might happen tomorrow. It might happen 2 weeks from now. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen before SummerSlam. That's just the facts. And the likes are going to get crazier and crazier and crazier. We are going to stay consistent with TikTok. And we want to put out the best videos when it comes to news and just, you know, opinion stuff on TikTok. You know, staying up to date with everything in pro wrestling. We got to do it, because if we're trying to get big with it, we got to stay consistent. No days off with TikTok, man. And we're going to do our thing over there, man. So I appreciate y'all. The family is growing. And just seeing the consistency that you guys have been loving what we've been putting out on TikTok is a blessing for me. And I know my co-host can really appreciate it, because he's been putting in that hard work on TikTok. I do not run TikTok. He just goes through me. I give him ideas. He goes with it. And at the end of the day, you really should be thanking Dante and not me. So please go thank him for TikTok.
But it's Jordan's vision.
That is true.
Do not ever misconstrue that, viewers and listeners. Anything that's being put up is very Vince McMahon-like. I'm kind of like Triple H to his Vince McMahon. I hope that's not a bad comparison. But I'm saying that to say,
whatever you see on the Wrestling Takeover, it is approved by Jordan. Nothing goes up without him saying so or liking it. So it's absolutely his vision. There's some things I do create. He's like, let's do something else. You know what I'm saying? So it's a good partnership. It's a good working partnership with him and everything like that. So just thank you guys for liking and subscribing and following and commenting. And we would love more comments. That would be really great. But I know that TikTok is more of a video type of just, you see the video, you scroll to the next one, you know?
Right.
Unless you're a real devoted follower of that person's page. Because I know when I'm on TikTok, I just scroll videos, I laugh, and I go to the next one.
Me too.
So I do understand the nature of TikTok. People really don't comment on it. But we would love for y'all to comment so we could, you know, interact with you guys and engage with you guys and even start a conversation and a dialogue about whatever we're talking about. So, but it's been amazing. It's been great. I can't wait to see where we are in December on TikTok and how the numbers are looking. This has been a great year for the Wrestling Takeover. I got to say, it's been a really successful year, and it's going to be even greater before the year closes.
Yeah, we're anticipating high numbers, so if y'all could help us out with that, love you guys, appreciate it. We really appreciate that, man. Dante, as usual, brother, thank you so much for everything you do to help me out in the brand. And me and Dante are working on something very, very special. This has been in the pipeline for, I would say, 2 years now, but we are in beginning stages of the development. Okay. So TikTok is where it's at right now. And then we will get to stage two. You guys are going to love what we bring with stage two. So that's all I'm going to say. But Dante, yep, thank you so much, man, as usual.
Yeah.
You are great. I love having you on the podcast. And listen, man, if there's something you want to talk about on the podcast, let me know.
Sounds good.
Just let me know. And I do want to make this note, guys. Dante will not be on the podcast on Sunday talking Forbidden Door 2, AEW New Japan. This will be a singles review.
Yes. I am a... anybody that's watching this show, I've always been really critical of AEW. I really lightened up, like big. Like my foot is, I had a lead foot with AEW. So I'm starting to see things with new eyes, new perspective. But definitely the Wembley show, I would definitely be a part of that review. Definitely, that's going to be a story. So if you're a wrestler, I'll say this: bump being an AEW fan. If you are a professional wrestling fan, a Martyr Day wrestling fan, and you don't order that Wembley show, there's a problem.
You're tripping, yeah. Bill Goldberg, yeah. Nobody wants you. But we know we're going to get him, so it is what it is. I just have to accept it. Okay.
It's time to go, right?
It's time to go. I think it's time to go, yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys, though, for joining us once again on the Wrestling Takeover podcast, the number one podcast when it comes to creativity, honesty, passion, knowledge, all of it. The consistency is not going to go nowhere. The Wrestling Takeover is just going to get better and better each and every day, and we can't thank you guys enough. So thank you guys again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Wrestling Takeover podcast.